You're listening to KBOO 90.7 Community Radio out of Portland, Oregon. And today we have some very special guests in the studio. We have Tuna, the star of The Rock Cats, which is an all-cat and, I think, chicken rock band. And with her is Samantha Martin and Polly Smith, who are traveling with the amazing Acro Cats on the road, based out of Chicago, but traveling the West Coast. Welcome to KBOO, Samantha, Polly, and Tuna.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, well, thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. And I just want to let you know, anytime you hear a bell or a purr, that is Tuna weighing in on the interview today. You guys are going to be at the Aladdin Theater this Saturday, June 25th, and it's a benefit. It's partially benefiting House of Dreams Cat Shelter, and I believe that, is it true that your cats are all rescue cats from, and so I've been talking to some people from House of Dreams and from, and cat lovers around Portland, and they have some questions for you guys, and one of them is, what is your selection process with the cats, and how did you get into this whole business?
Well, Tuna was kind of the inspiration, the catalyst for the whole show. She's 14 now. She was a brilliant cat, but not an affectionate cat, but really enjoyed working and training. So, generally we choose cats that are kind of troublemakers, the ones that have the attitudes or the catitudes, usually make the best Acro cats. A lot of times, if it's a bottle baby, it's hard to give up a kitten that you bottle raised from 2 days old. So throughout the years, all the various Acro cats have come my way from various means where, you know, they were found somewhere or abandoned or their mother had died and I bottle raised them up. And then we started fostering in 2009. And since then, we found homes for 181 cats and kittens. And when we have a litter of foster kittens, sometimes one in particular will stand out as great Acro cat material, or we just all get attached or just becomes a foster failure. But generally, the ones with the catitude and the troublemakers are the ones that do make the best Acro cats. But all cats are trainable. It's just what their skill set is. So you can train any cat to do something, but some cats are a little bit more motivated than others.
And when you say motivated, they just, what do you think makes up that motivation? Obviously, you're giving them little snacks and treats, but what else do you think drives the cats?
Well, the ones that have high energy and a lot going on in their head need a way to expel that energy. So clicker training and having them have a job basically gives them a way to expend that energy. So that, and definitely food motivated as well. Because there's some cats that are like, I'll just take my meal and that's it. And they're not really, you know, that excited about treats or food in general. They just kind of nibblers. But then there's those cats that are like, I will take that piece of chicken and part of your finger with it. So...
And another question people had for me was, I saw your show a couple of years ago at the Imago Theater here in Portland, just across the street. And I was impressed that I think you had a very young kitten with you, and it was her first time performing, little tiny blonde kitten.
Yeah, that's Nola. Yeah.
Right.
We almost brought her today, but I was like, I don't know if there's going to be any visual, because she's our guitar player. She's one of our guitar players now. She looks nothing like she did as a kitten. She's got a bad hair dye job or something. I don't know. It's she's Siamese mixed, so she has points, but then she's got some torty and some tabby in there, and so she looks very different than she did 2 years ago. But she's still definitely part of the troupe, and plays guitar when on this day she feels like it.
Uh-huh. And one of the things I was impressed with was that there was occasionally moments of rogue performers where they just kind of took off into the seats, and that was fine. And you talked about how that was a possibility. And have you ever had that? I mean, you know, you've been doing this for a long time now, so I'm just wondering, what your fantastic road stories are. Anybody come out of to run away with the circus?
Well, or? I remember actually 2 years ago at that same theater you were at when Jax started walking up along the balcony.
Yes.
That was a pretty exciting one because I have seen these cats do some amazing things and I have never quite seen Jax do something so daring and so dangerous. And I was actually concerned for her, but she was like, "No, I got this." And so she just walked up and down the edge of that balcony. And I was, she's a cat. She's got way better balance than I do. But I do remember that was one of the more fantastic ones. And then there was the time when Tuna climbed up on the ladder. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember when Tuna climbed up this like pretty high ladder. And I'm a little afraid of heights, so I had to climb up there after her because she decided she really couldn't get down, which I'm sure she could have given enough time. But we were in the middle of a show, and we kind of needed her to come back to the show, so I had to climb up there. And, of course, she complained and cursed me out the whole way down. So, yeah, that was
She does not like to be held.
Yeah, does not like to be held. And then there was a time when Wiki was up in a balcony. And that's why we have, like, don't chase after these cats, people. Just let them be. Just if they come to you and they wander around, you know, you can pet them, but don't go chasing after them in a panic and try to bring them to us. They'll come back on their own. But some kids, they chased Wiki in the balcony. And he was like, "I'm out of here." And he leaped. That's why he's the daredevil, because he leaped off the balcony back onto stage to get away from the the crowd. Out of control child crowd.
Yeah, well, you know, people always talk about how difficult it is to be, you know, that's a level of comparison as difficult as herding cats. And it seems like you two have a lot of tricks up your sleeves and a lot of patience and lots of Tupperwares full of snacks.
Yeah, so I have all sorts of Tupperware, five or six different treats you know, each one has a different value for different cats, because some cats love the chicken liver, but if Sookie smells chicken liver on your hand, she's like, no, I smell chicken liver. I hate chicken liver. And she won't do anything. She's like, you can see it on her face.
Other snacks?
We have grilled salmon. Not grilled salmon, but salmon, chicken breast. We also have swordfish at some time. At some point,
did we try this? I don't even know if we tried the swordfish.
Chicken liver's the new one. Yeah. Chicken liver's the new high-end level one. Tuna, ahi tuna.
Yeah, ahi tuna, salmon, chicken. And I did buy a piece of swordfish. I don't know if she cooked it up yet or not. Maybe she did. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I wish I would have known. I would have liked to know if the cats responded better to that.
Also baby food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby food is the last. Like if tuna's just like, I am like way too tired, I don't feel like doing anything, bring out the baby food. And she's like, maybe I do have another minute or so in me. So.
And a little about tuna. She's a beautiful domestic short-haired all-white kitty, and she's 14 years old, and she is wandering the studio with us right now, checking everything out. We had a little session with her ringing her bell, and what is she playing in the band, the bell?
Cowbell.
She plays the cowbell.
Yes.
And you have guitar players, and wasn't there a hen playing the snare? Is that right?
Cymbal and tambourine.
Cymbal and tambourine.
Yeah.
And what's the hen's name?
That's Cluck Norris.
Cluck Norris. But it is a hen.
Yes.
Good. Yes. Just checking.
It is but a chicken.
It's a chicken. It's female, but I mean, the only good female hen name was Goldie Hen.
Right.
And we thought Cluck Norris was like a better name for like
a tough name.
A tough name. And that chicken is tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a badass chicken.
How old is that chicken?
I think four.
Wow.
Yeah. About four, yeah.
And was Cluck Norris providing eggs on tour as well?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Does Cluck get extra treats for that? Like,
no, but we do.
Food and
right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're delicious. Mm-hmm. Especially because Cluck has like kind of a free-range diet of all sorts of things. Like all of our leftovers go to the chicken.
Right.
So the eggs are particularly delicious because it's not just, you know, dry poultry chow. it's a variety of things, from, you know, sweet potato fries and salmon.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Well, I have to say, as I spent many years fishing commercially in Alaska, and I appreciate the high level of fish in your cat's diets.
Yeah. So I love fish. I'm out there grilling fish every day for myself. At the end of the day, I try to find the, you know, freshest fish at the market, and
right,
and then it's kind of a write off too if I give a piece of the cat.
Right, that sounds great. So another question: since you're integrating cats, new cats, it seems like you're fostering and finding homes for 180 cats since 2009.
Yes,
that is a lot of cats. So you're doing a huge service for everyone. Hi, Tuna. And Tuna's checking out the board now.
Yeah, she's like, what can I turn off to cause the most amount of damage here?
And so what tips do you guys use? And do you have any recommendations for other people for helping to integrate cats into a group of cats or a new cat into a home?
It's a slow process. We have our foster kittens separated into their own space, into their own little condo. And actually, with the new bus, we just got a new tour bus. So the front section of the bus is an area that's going to be Kitten City in particular, that has three different levels. The top level will have the incubator for bottle babies. And then once they graduate from the incubator level, they'll go into the lower level, which is for kittens that need a little space and can start, you know, crawling around and doing a little bit of climbing. And then the second level is for when they're even older, and if they can be integrated with the first level kitties, we can open up the whole thing and they can have run of the whole, the whole area. So, and that's in the front, and the acrocats are all in the back. So, then we let the acrocats out, but the kittens are kind of in their own little protective enclosure so that my cats can see them and smell them, and they can see my cats mm-hmm. and smell them. But they're not necessarily, in any kind of harm's way. And there's some cats that we have that are particularly friendly to the kittens. So we generally bring those cats when we start actually having, adult kitten interaction. We bring out the cats that really love the kittens. And we try to keep the ones that swat them every time away. Like Tuna does not take kindly to any other cats or kittens. So
or people,
yeah, generally. Just kind of like, let me do my job, pay me, and we'll just call it a day.
She's a real show business kitty.
Yes, all, yeah, total professional.
Right.
I think for people in their homes, there is a lot of resources on the internet on how to do it slowly and the best way possible. I know that a lot of advice I have heard over and over from professionals are adult cats and kittens are easier to integrate because of the hierarchy. Also, there's this, the slower the process, the better. They have to get used to their smells first. They kind of have to get used to their presence first before they can even actually meet paw to paw or face to face. And so just the slower the process, the better. It takes time, but it's really worth it because then the animals are the least amount of stress for the animals and the most amount of friendliness can happen, I think, that way.
And do you guys experience, as a crew moving across the country, have you ever experienced pushback against using animals, like performing with animals? Do you ever have animal rights activists showing up and causing you grief or anything like that?
We had one person show up in Hollywood two years ago with a sign. Circuses aren't fun for animals. Showed up like way too early for one thing.
I think she showed up 3 hours before the show. It was just her standing there in front of an empty venue with a sign, and then she left before any audience members even showed up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so I'm not quite sure if she got our schedule.
Right.
But
yeah,
it was. And she was very quiet. She was mm-hmm. She kept to herself. We let her do her thing. She has every right to speak her mind however mm-hmm. she wishes. We have had emails concerned on a more, I consider, reasonable level. Once in a while, less often than I thought originally when I first joined the show, we get an occasional email, people genuinely expressing their concerns. Of course, we always open it up to discussion for them and explain to them what we do. And I feel free to always, talk to them about whatever their concerns are and invite them, of course, to see the show to, hopefully to make a judgment call for themselves. We've also had a lot of people more publicly come to us and express concern and then see the show and decide that we're doing really good work. I don't know if I can mention names like Ingrid, but
some people mm-hmm. that are pretty prominent in the cat community out there that have come to see the show that were on the fence about whether or not they approved of what we were doing, but then they came and saw the show and they had a complete turnaround and any misgivings that they had were gone just because they realized that the cats were in total control. They saw the cat's body language. The cats are pretty much free to do what they want to do. We do some coaxing and pleading and begging sometimes and to try to get them, come on, just do it. Come on, you can do it. It's such a great trick. But in the end, it's really up to the cat, and they see that the cat's, you know, the cat's body language says it all. The fact that their tails are up, they're obviously having fun. You know, they're racing across the stage and running up a pole. It's not even their trick. They're leaving, you know, crawling into the audience laps, adding themselves into parts of the show that they weren't even originally supposed to be in, and just showing up for it because they wanted in on it. So
they write the script. They really do. And then Tuna purrs when she performs. It's actually, I think, her favorite thing to do that I know of is to ring that bell.
Mm-hmm. Did you just say performs?
It's a perform.
That's what I thought. Yeah, she was just ringing the bell and purring. I could hear it from all the way across the room.
And also the fact that it is an educational show as well. We're trying to keep cats out of shelters and in people's homes. More cats than dogs are relinquished to shelters because people don't have the same kind of bond with them as they do with the dog, because they didn't invest the kind of time. Because they didn't realize that you could invest that kind of time. Why bother? My cat doesn't care about me. Well, you invest 10 minutes a day in your cat, and your cat will care about you. Take away the free feeding, and your cat will care about you. You build a relationship with your cat so that you want to take that cat with you when you move, and you don't pick a place that doesn't allow pets. So we want to keep the cats that have homes in homes, and at the same time, try to help as many shelter cats as we can find homes. And we partner with rescues along the way, donate a portion of the proceeds when we can, and do fostering as well. So I think that also cuts down on the amount of criticism that we might otherwise get.
My experience at the show was that the cats were definitely in charge, for sure. Will you be taking any new cats on? Will you be taking any Portland cats on the road? Are you recruiting?
We have 4 foster kittens right now,
uh-huh.
and they're not quite ready for adoption, so we have our hands full with kittens, as foster kittens, but as soon as we find homes for, you know, at least 2 of the kittens that we're with, then we'll have space open to take another foster kitten. So it's still high kitten season, but we try not to take on too many because I do like to raise them all as my own, give them basic training. So every foster kitten that comes through us, we'll know how to whistle to a crate, knows basic clicker training, and does some kind of cute parlor trick like a high five or a wave or a sit pretty or a hoop jump, because that way people do have that bragging right that they adopt this acro kitten from their famous acro cats, and that cat's never going to get left behind because it's like, you've adopted a celebrity. So in order to do that, we kind of have to keep the numbers down. We can't take in 40 kittens at a time because I do want to be able to give them quality time and attention while still having enough time for my own cats.
And whistle to a crate. As I recall, you whistle and the cats run right to their crates, and you stress the importance of that in case of an emergency or a danger, or also just for your training. To get them where you need them to go.
Yeah, especially if you have a big house or if you do have outdoor cats. We're not a fan of outdoor cats, but some people do have indoor outdoor cats. And a whistle will carry, the sound will carry much further than, you know, shaking a food bag or a can opener. So if you can, you know, have your cat on a strong recall like you do with a dog, then if you need to evacuate for whatever reason, to be able to have a sound that cat consistently comes to. And it's not a struggle to get them into a crate is also a big thing. So,
right. And what's sitting pretty?
Sitting pretty is just like when they sit on their hind legs and put their paws up like a...
Just so you know, Samantha and Polly are both sitting pretty right now.
Meow.
Can you talk a little bit about Garfield and how he joined the troop?
Oh, Garfield is our resident groundhog, and I used to be a zookeeper for about 20-some years, and he was part of the zookeeping career. And groundhogs are a little bit like cats, and they're affectionate. They use a litter box. They're outgoing, friendly, very trainable.
What are Garfield's treats?
Garfield, he gets like a moistened monkey biscuits, which is like it's a primate chow that's a mix of all sorts of fruits and veggies that they feed to an assortment of animals. And he also likes Fig Newtons.
And Garfield, does he, sit on your lap while you're driving the bus around? Does he purr? Does he whistle?
He grinds his teeth when he's happy.
Okay.
Because that's a rodent way of purring is, kind of grinding their teeth. He's a little bit squirmy to sit on a lap, especially you don't want to, it's really probably not safe to drive around with a groundhog on your lap. But he will definitely curl up with you, and he loves scritches, and he gets along with the cats just fine, and we let him to have his wandering time as well.
He does love to nibble on fingers too. Yeah, that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And am I right that he wears a little hat?
Yes, he does wear a hat. We have a variety of hats for Garfield.
I'm a big fan of the groundhog. We don't really have them. We have marmots out here on the mm-hmm. West Coast.
Same thing. Yeah. Groundhog, woodchuck, marmot, and whistle pig are all the same animal, just called different things in different parts.
Right. Whistle pig. Is there... You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio, and we are visiting with the amazing Acrocats, the human side, Samantha Martin and Polly Smith, and we also have Tuna. Does Tuna have a last name?
Martin.
Tuna Martin is also roaming the studio, and Tuna plays the cowbell in the Rock Cats, the world's only cat band, and they'll be performing at the Aladdin Theater June 25th. That's this Saturday, 7 p.m.?
We have a 3 p.m. and a 7 p.m. Saturday, and then a 1 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm incorrect. A 3 p.m. and an 8 p.m. on Saturday, and a 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Sunday.
So four shows. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So do you get people that go to all four shows?
Yes.
And I noticed that there's a lot of cat fashion, and there seemed generally in the line there was a lot of people there in twos, and there would be one person who was very excited and the other person who was sort of bemused. And I have to say, I was the excited person.
As yet
person,
to be converted.
Right? Really awesome cat fashion, though. People just wore some amazing...
Yeah, it's really becoming like an event, and that's what we want it to be. We want it to be like this cat event where people show up and... because we also sell cat ears, but when they show up with their own cat outfit, we totally encourage that kind of enthusiasm. And also signs. They make fan signs. Tuna, we love you. And they hold it up during the show. And so that sort of thing is adorable as well. And then gifts. Sometimes people bring us gifts for the cats.
And what kind of gifts do you guys welcome for the cats?
They never say no to catnip.
Catnip. Sure,
catnip. Yeah, they love catnip toys. And
It is legal in Oregon.
Yeah. So he's a regular at the dispensary.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about your upcoming show?
Probably you.
It is a fundraiser to help benefit House of Dreams as well as Furry Friends.
Uh-huh. And what is Furry Friends?
It's another rescue based out of Portland and one's based out of Vancouver. So they're working together. They'll both be present during the shows, I guess.
And you guys have opportunities for people to sign up and volunteer if they
want
to get
in.
Yes, we do.
We do. The slots have now become very limited. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people who have decided to volunteer, which is great. But I think we do have a few more slots available.
And ticket prices?
We have we have three levels. We have $21 for general admission, $24. Oh, I don't remember. Oh, $24 for general admission, which gets you a meet and greet.
Oh,
we can meet and greet the band after the show, and then we have a $34 or $36, I'm not sure, dollar ticket for VICP, very important cat person.
I see.
That is a front area section.
Uh huh.
So you can get as more up close and personal during the show, and then also that comes with the meet and greet after the show,
and more potential. cat contact. Action. Yeah, the cat made. You're more likely to visit you if you're in the front or, you know, first two rows. So there's a high possibility of cat interaction.
And people can find out about this show and upcoming shows at your website, circuscats.com. And are we going to hear from Tuna?
Tuna. How about a little bell ring? He's like, show me the money.
Is Bucky, was it Bucky that's the black kitty?
Buggles.
Buggles.
Their arch nemesis. It's her arch nemesis, Buggles and Tuna.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all between, that is Tuna Martin, the famous rock cat playing the bell here at KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM. Don't miss the amazing Acro Cats. They're high-fiving right now. Don't miss the amazing Acro Cats this Saturday and Sunday, June 25th and 26th at the Aladdin Theater on Powell and Milwaukee here in Portland, Oregon. And if you see the cat bus around town, flag it over and throw them some catnip, and maybe you'll get a glimpse of Kitten City. Thank you so much, Samantha Martin, Tuna Martin, and Polly Smith. I'm Mo Bowstern, and this is KBOO Community Radio.
It's cat-tacular.